and I invite you, when you listen to it, if you want, to go fully into the imagery. Like, you bring yourself in your imagination to anything that arises from the descriptions. Okay, here we go. The gorilla's story. I had recently arrived back in Los Angeles, and the Nahual picked me up and took me to a nearby park. ¿Cómo está el caballero viajero? He greeted me, in an obvious reference, I thought, to my predilection for traveling and finding new places all the time. Once at the park, we strolled along the green lawn as he talked, holding a keychain between his fingers. He told me that when he was a kid, they used to call him El Loco Araña, because he was always going from one place to another and never stopped, and that I reminded him of when he was that age. What he lacked was consistency, he said, just as I did. Don Juan had even made him literally find his own spot when they first met. Ever since reading his first book, I had been intrigued by his account of finding your own spot. So I got very excited that he had brought up the subject. He said that finding that place where one is recharged and feels naturally happy happens when one finds his own impeccability and acts from there. I wasn't sure what he meant. He paused for a second as if measuring his words and then continued. He said that we all have an infinite number of energy lines extending from all over our body out into infinity, and that the most durable lines are the ones that come from the middle of the body. He paused and then cleared his nose with two short, forceful exhalations, which he did often, and then repeated twice that those strings of energy gives us stability and balance, and that the sorcerers of ancient Mexico brought them into play in order to find their own impeccability. But you know this, he said. You once told me a story about it. I had no idea what he was referring to. He then mentioned something about memorable events, and then I said, oh, is the story about the gorillas, Nahual? Yes, he said. The story between the talking ape and the non-talking ape. Tell it to me again. So, he was referring to an expedition that I had taken part before I came in contact with him. I didn't quite see the connection, but I recounted the story as I remembered it. The opportunity to travel had presented itself to me again. It was to a faraway journey, to a place I had not been before, Africa. It was going to be a rough trip, and at one point, while I actually was there, I heard about an unusual expedition that had just reopened at a day's distance of travel from where I was in the mountains of eastern Zaire, nowadays Congo. And I went. It was early morning, New Year's Eve, as we searched for the mountain gorillas. We walked through the dense forest floor, four humans. In front of us, a tracker gazed through the canopy, making loud sounds with his nostrils as he breathed. He was thin and short and very agile, constantly on the lookout. Watching him, it occurred to me that he was using his sense of smell as an antenna to scan the surroundings. In our attempt to find the gorillas, our best chances rested on the tracker's capacity to detect the scent of the previous night's resting site, still fresh in the air. As I tried to keep up with the search, pushing aside lianas and leafy branches, I couldn't help wondering about these powerful creatures, which I had seen so many times in photos, what it would be like to encounter them right there in the mountain jungle, in their terms. strange nervousness kept building inside of me, which peaked when the tracker gestured wildly that we had found a recent sleeping ground. There were several circular beds made out of pressed leaves, each one with a stool in the center, which the tracker smelled to assess how recent they were. They were fresh. From that moment on, the whole atmosphere in the group shifted. Everybody seemed to get quiet. We all walked as if measuring every step, with an undefinable certainty that we could feel the gorillas very near. One never knew how they might behave. Might the silverback accept us, push us out, threaten us? We had been trained very thoroughly on how to behave. It was a tight group. I was still immersed in these thoughts, reviewing the instructions in my mind one more time, when a sudden noise of bodies moving ahead jolted me. We had found them. My heart raced like a wild horse and my mouth got instantly dry. We cautiously walked into a shadowy clearing in the bush, covered from the sun by a roof of dense trees. They were there, all around us, 27 in total. Some on the floor, some hanging from branches. I felt a deep pull in my middle of my body, almost overwhelming at the sight of these haunting beings. We slowly sat down, following subtle gestures from cues of the tracker under the sight of the silverback. There he was. He was huge. He was semi-upright, as if sitting in an invisible chair, eating from some thick branches which he pulled apart like if they were made out of paper. I watched him aghast, sitting at a safe distance. He exuded sheer power, but his behavior was calm and confident. I got mesmerized watching him. He was so smooth in spite of his size. I felt a total respect and the sensation that anything could happen at any moment, which was confirmed a moment later when he suddenly dropped to a side the branches that he was holding and in an agile shift jumped onto his four legs and came straight towards me. I felt my bowels loosen. I was almost panicked. I was about to run like a madman, but I caught sight of the tracker. He put his hand on my shoulders and gestured me to stay put. I froze. The silverback stopped a mere few inches away and changed his pace to a slow rhythm. I was sitting on the ground. He was on all fours, his long arms holding his torso and his head extended forward towards me. At this point, my eyes were wide open and I could see a big black face almost touching me, twice the size of mine. The gorilla began to smell me, lightly rubbing his moist nose against my own. And after he had satiated his curiosity, he then stepped aside as if nothing had happened and continued walking away towards the rest of the family. From that moment on, we were accepted. We intermingled with a group of gorillas. There was a group of adult females who were nursing babies and several young ones who moved all around with exquisite lightness. They were on the ground and others were resting on fallen tree trunks, either in small groups or by themselves. The feeling in the air was unlike anything I had experienced before. It was charged, as if when two separate currents cross each other, and filled with mutual awe and curiosity at the same time. In one moment, a tiny, tiny gorilla approaches us, and one could almost not resist touching them, so cute they were. but we were admonished never to do that. One of the mothers got obviously uneased and suddenly came running in a loop in front of us in a speed of light, and as she passed each one of us, threw a side karate kick that almost hit our faces but stopped perfectly controlled before it did so, in an amazing display of warning towards us. My heart stopped. Then everything got quiet again, as if nothing had happened. The gorillas seemed to go about their daily activities regardless of our presence, and the four of us were soon swallowed by the mass of black bodies around us. I was fascinated watching each thing. What impressed me to no end was the way in which they moved. My idea of their supposed roughness was quickly shattered. They moved with ease, with no rush in them, with no lethargy either. They seemed to be immersed in their own world, and yet they were completely tuned into the environment. They would suddenly react to what was happening around them and move very quickly and very efficiently. I watched how they grabbed different branches and wrapped them or ate them. At times they rolled over the ground back and forth and crawled to different spots where they stayed for some time, eating or pulling things from their body or simply being. I became mesmerized by every detail of these movements and lost track of time. The group of gorillas moved east. We followed them, uncertain if the silverback would continue to allow our presence, but he did. It had been more than an hour with the gorillas, an unprecedented amount of time, as I learned later. At one point, I catch the glimpse of one of the gorillas. One of the females was slightly below me in front. I had been told that one should not look at them straight into the eyes. I had tried to move my gaze away, but something was pulling me. The gorilla was looking straight into my eyes. And so I met her gaze, and she stayed, and I stayed. And suddenly we were gazing into each other's eyes straight for a timeless moment. The gorilla and me. As we looked at each other, something in me remembered, beyond my ideas of who we were, a familiarity of sorts, two beings looking at each other, so different from each other and yet so familiar. I paused in my recounting, filled with all sorts of sensations. What's memorable of that event is how you describe it, the Nawal said. You are very judgmental often with other things, but this time you were impersonal. You didn't try to anthropomorphize it or to reach conclusions about them. You described how they moved, like you are having a view from the bridge, from the abstract. You saw how they moved. You almost saw their energy lines. You sensed their mood, their silence. Their energy lines extended all around them and into the forest and into each other. We find our spot with our energy lines when they feel comfortable and at ease, he said. Then we can easily recharge and balance ourselves. I realized that we all sentient beings, finding our place. Finding where is me. That confidence in ourselves and our sense of self begins there in that midsection. And that one needs to find one's own spot every day over and over in order to navigate in life in the sea of awareness. Then a while then said that the me place in our midsection is the docking port for our journeys. That we are navigators setting sail to our destiny, while our luminous filaments link us to this marvelous world that surrounds us and to which we belong, just as those amazing gorillas belonged to the earth and at the same time were held by the earth.